The following is a production of Central Christian Center and Pastor Hank DeLott.
Praise the Lord. So good to see you. I missed y'all last week. Seemed like I've been gone a month, but I'm glad I'm here today, and I'm glad you're here today. My life's better with you. Huh? It's better with you in it. And I was thinking the other day, isn't it good to be in a place where you feel like you belong? You ever think about that? How many ever went into somebody's house or you went to some function or something and you just felt out of place? Huh? You know, when I step in a place, I don't hang around there. I get going, man. But it's so good to be in a place where you feel like you belong. And could I make a statement? You belong here. You belong here. Praise God. Praise God. I want to share a little bit. Those of you, I don't know which entrance you come in, but if you'll notice, what we're in the process of doing is we're moving the tabernacle out of that entranceway down there, and that's going to be one of our main entranceways coming in. And we're going to put the pieces, the tabernacle furniture, in the foyer down here as you come off Main Street, with some signs explaining what each piece represented. And I think it'll be a lot more educational. And how many people had never even went through the tabernacle anyway? About half of us. So, but anyway, I think it'd be real educational and help you a lot when you're reading through the scripture. But anyway, how many's ever been in a battle, a spiritual battle, a physical battle? How many's ever been in a battle and you didn't? Some of you haven't ever been. How many's ever been in a battle? Hey, I'm talking about a battle. I'm talking about when you don't know if you're going to get out of it. You don't know if you're going to get through it. You don't know what you're going to do. I want to talk to you a little bit about today about trials and tests and how to go through them victoriously, hopefully. So I'm believing Holy Spirit, I'm believing you to capture my thoughts today and cause me to say things that help those that are here. And we give you praise for it, God. We thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you, Holy Spirit. Pray this in your name, Jesus. I want to look in the first chapter of James for just a little bit today. Don't anybody text me right now, okay? Because this is hard enough getting used to reading some of this on my phone anyway. But we're progressing around here, you know. But I wanted to read you this out of the Amplified. And hopefully give you something today that encourages you, because I think somebody here today, you have some type of a crisis in your life right now. Some of you here today have been fighting a battle this week. Some of you this in here will face one next week. We don't talk about that one, do we? Huh? Let's don't talk about that. But James, first chapter says, James, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most believe that the James that wrote this book wasn't the Apostle James. It was the half-brother of Jesus. And he didn't serve Jesus while Jesus was here, but when he saw the power of that resurrection, man, he was all in. And James was the leader of the Jewish council in Jerusalem. And at the time he wrote this letter, he was the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. But he says, to the 12 Hebrew tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion, greetings and rejoice. Now, I just want to have a little background as we go, but what happened was persecution drove the Christians everywhere. They drove them out of Jerusalem. And this, when they really began to scatter, was about the time Stephen got stoned to death. And that freaked everybody out so much. They were seeing so many things that they ran. And I want you to understand now that now all these Jewish Christians mainly that had scattered were all coming back to Jerusalem now. And they were coming to James, who was their pastor, and they were asking him questions like, "What in the world's going on? Why is all this happening?" How many know we preach about a good Jesus? One that's alive, one that's powerful, one that a God that loves us and wants to do good things in our life. And how many have ever been in a situation in your life when all the good things didn't seem to be happening? And don't raise your hand on this, but how many ever said, "God, if this is so good, what's happened to me? Why am I going through this?" We've all been there, haven't we? If you're so good, how come all this stuff's happening? And that's what all these Christians were thinking as they were coming back to Jerusalem and they were coming to their pastor and they were wanting some answers. They said, "This Jesus you're talking about and you've been teaching us about, if he's so good, how come they're killing us? How come they're feeding us to lions? How come they're stoning us?" Here's what Pastor said to them. He said, "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters." And I have a problem with that, don't you? "But consider it nothing but joy whenever you fall into various trials. But be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, and that endurance leads to spiritual maturity and inner peace." Now I want you to understand what he says here. He says, you can count it joy. He didn't say you enjoy it. He said you can count it joy and you can get a smile on your face no matter what you're feeling like on the inside, no matter what's going on around you. You can have a joy. You can get a smile on your face. And he said, I want you to understand what's happening here. He said, when you're tried or when you're tested, it leads you to endurance. And that endurance, when it begins to work in you, it produces spiritual maturity and inner peace. Now I want to get something straight in your mind, and if I don't get real far with this today, that's okay, but I want you to understand what I'm saying while I'm saying it. How many's ever heard somebody say, or you've said, "Boy, I failed that test"? How many's ever felt like you failed a test? How many ever felt like you passed the test? Before we go any further, let me say this about the test. God is not giving the test. Now, you can think about a test several different ways. You can think about a test like that mean old teacher that was giving you a test and you didn't know half the stuff that was on the test, and you were worried about failing it, and you were worried about if you were going to get an F on that test or not, and you were taking a test. And I want you to get that picture and put it over here, because I want you to get another picture in your mind. The other day, I had a flashlight that didn't work. And so I went and found some batteries laying there. I didn't know how long they'd been there, but I found some batteries, and I put them in that flashlight. Once I put them in that flashlight, I tested it to see how strong those batteries were. Test. "Oh, God's giving me a test. God's checking me. God." No, a test. I tested that flashlight. I tested those batteries to see if there was any strength in them. Here a while back, I was doing some electrical work. I wasn't doing it. I had Paul helping me. And we were doing some electrical work. And we got everything hooked up exactly like we thought it was supposed to be hooked up. And then we flipped the everything's there. And we'd flip the switch a few times and nothing happened. But we got everything like we thought it was supposed to be. And then I said, let's test it and see if it works. Is that a little different test in your mind? What did James just say here? He said all these tests, all these things that are happening, they're testing your faith. See, we need to test our faith because we need to know where our faith is. I need to know how strong my batteries are. I need to know if the light's a little dim. I need to know that. And I need to face the reality that my batteries might not be working. Stay with me. You ever see a Christian? I know none of you ever did it. But somebody start talking to you about faith and they got real defensive. They just swole up inside and said, I got faith. You know, I've learned something in life in general, but especially in the kingdom. If you got something, you don't have to be telling everybody all the time you got it. Huh? I remember when you were younger and there was always some tough guys in school. Anybody remember that? Yeah, Ken, you were probably one of them. Yeah, but you never, those tough guys never had to tell you they were tough. You just knew, don't mess with him or her. You with me? What I'm saying is, if we won't get honest enough with ourselves to realize we need some growth, once you start getting comfortable and once you start thinking that you're there and once you start thinking I got faith, you better check it because your faith isn't working very good. Your batteries are weak. Huh? Just something to think about. Is everybody kind of following me so far? I won't look to see if you're not. But okay, he says, consider joy. He said, because when your faith is tried through experience. See, I wish that we could go through life and we never had any mountains to climb and we never had any valleys to go through and we never had any of them raging rivers to swim through. And I just wish, man, don't you wish we could just all get together and have a great big group hug? I just want life to be feel fuzzy and good and comfortable. Well, you do too. And that's what we tend to go after, but that's not reality. And then when it doesn't happen, can I tell you right up front, everybody listening, or can you hear me in the back? Everybody listening? Let me tell you right up front, life ain't that way. It's not going to go every way you want it to go. It's not going to happen how you want it to happen. It's not going to feel comfortable all the time. And you can run and run and run from this church to that church, from this marriage to that marriage, from this relationship to that relationship, from this group of friends to that group of friends, from this job to that job. And you can run all your life. It's never going to be that way. And when you're in that state, everywhere you go, it's the other people's fault that you feel that way. Now somebody grunt or something, you know. A pig will grunt even if you take it some slop, you know. encourage me, make me think you're listening anyway. And we, and this test happens through the things we experience. How many ever experienced some things you don't like? Huh? How many have done it lately? So this as you go through these things, it makes you tougher. Once you understand it, it gives you endurance. It makes you tougher. It makes you stronger. It puts some steel in you that wasn't there before. Matter of fact, it usually just hacks you off, and you say, "I'm not going for that anymore." And it develops your faith. It gives you, he said, let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. I like that. And then he goes, he says in verse 5, he says, if any man lacks wisdom to guide him through the decision or circumstances, he is to ask of our benevolent God. I love this, what I can hear James doing right here. All these people are coming to him, and they're going, "Why has this happened to me?" You've never done that, but you know somebody has, don't you? "Why has this happened to me, God? Why, Pastor? Why is all this happening to me? Why? James goes, "Man, I don't know. Go ask God." Now, I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but that's what came to me anyway. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it'll be given to him. Now, let me. You can ask God for wisdom in any circumstance and anything, and He's going to give it to you. But what James is talking about here is when you're in the middle of the fire. How many ever been in the middle of the fire? Well, I'll say that one more time, and if you haven't been, maybe you'll get a chance to soon. How many's ever been in the middle of the fire? Oh, first time I ever got 100% participation. When you're in the middle of the fire is when you can ask God. When you don't know what's going on and you don't know why it's going on and you don't know what's happening in your life, that's when you ask God for wisdom. Now, at first, immaturity says, "God, why is this happening to me?" Let me say that again, because y'all over here didn't hear that. Immaturity says, "God, why is this happening to me?" And that's okay. How many know you never get mature unless you've been immature. Now we're going to tell you how to get out of the manure, okay? So immaturity says, and there's nothing wrong with immaturity, and the best thing is that you can realize that you're immature in an area, that you're not acting like Jesus in an area, that you need some improvement in an area. That's the best thing that can happen to you in your life. Because once you realize that, then it makes you put yourself in motion and you go starting after getting mature. You want to grow. Maturity says, "Father, in the middle of this fire, what do I do? What do you have me to do? What do you want me to do? What is my next step? What is my next breath? God, I'm trusting you to help me take my next breath. I want you to understand that I understand the fire that you've been in. And so does God. And so when you're in the middle of that, you ask God. He's a benevolent God, it says. You ask Him through a decision to guide you through decisions and circumstances. Father, this didn't take you by surprise. How do I get out of here? What is my next step? Wisdom says, maturity says, and Father, I'm asking you as I'm stepping out of this furnace, as I'm getting raised up out of this mire, this miry pit, I'm trusting you to show me and give me wisdom and grow me so that I don't get in this mess again. And I love what he says there. He says he'll give you generously. He'll give you that wisdom. He'll speak to your heart. He'll talk to you. And he won't rebuke you. And he says without rebuke or blame. See, and if you get that condemnation, well, I blew it. I opened the door to get in this. Sure you did. That's not in question. You open the door and let him in, but what I want to know is how do I get out of here? It says God will tell me, and He won't rebuke me, and He won't be mad at me, and He won't treat me like I'm an idiot, even though I am. I'm a son. You're a son. You're a daughter. He'll help you. He'll reach down in that miry pit and He'll grab you by the hand and He'll pull you up out of that miry clay and He'll put your feet on solid ground and He'll put some purpose in your step and He'll put a song in your heart and a testimony in your mouth and everybody that sees you will know that the God of this universe has touched your life. But here's where I was trying to get to is verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, he says, but he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For anyone, anybody ever said, I'm asking you for help, God, will you help me? You don't? No, get that out of there. He'll help you. He's willing to help you. Huh? Psalms 46 says He's an ever-present force. He's ever-presently there. He's always there ready to help you in your time of need or your time of trouble. Write some of that down and read it. But He says anyway, but he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a blowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable and restless in all of his ways. In everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Now in verse 6 here, he says out of the New King James says, let him ask in faith. What are we asking for? God, I'm asking you for your wisdom. I'm asking you to show me. And maybe it's not in the middle of a battle. Maybe it's a faith battle for what you're believing for. A faith battle for your finances. You're in a faith battle for your kids. You're in a faith battle for your marriage. You're in a faith battle of anything you're believing God for. It says, but let him ask in faith, not with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. Now I want us to understand now. Remember, God's not testing us. As a matter of fact, you go on down to the 13th verse, and it says, when you're going through this stuff, don't you dare think it's God testing you. Because God doesn't test, or he doesn't tempt you with evil. And it goes on to say that every good thing comes from him. So what I want us to understand is while we're coming to him in faith, we're coming to him, our opponent isn't God. Our opponent is the devil. Let me read you real quick here, Ephesians in chapter 6. And just listen to me. We won't put it up there. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the tricks of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is when he's after you. The evil day is when you're in your battle. The evil day is when everything, every thought's bombarding you that it's not going to work. And you're silly to believe the way you're believing. It's useless to think and believe that he would do what you're asking for. Your evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I love that. What that says to me is, Hank, after you've done all you know to do and you've done all that the Word says to do, just stand still. Just stand still. You see, it doesn't matter what you're believing for. If you're believing, if you're in the middle of a crisis and you're trying to muster up your faith, you're trying to figure out how to get out of it, you're trying to do all that, or if it's in the middle of a financial battle, if it's in the middle of a spiritual battle, you know, whatever it is, the devil always wants to push you back and cause you to step back a step. He wants to get you off of your stand of faith because he knows that that will work. Faith will defeat him every time. And if you'll check it, the first thought, the first feeling that comes in, grips your heart is fear. What if he doesn't? What if it doesn't happen? What am I going to do? They're going to take my house away. Man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do if this doesn't work? My kids are hungry. Listen to me. It's when he's pushing you the hardest, and you're under the most pressure, that's when you're at the crossroad. That's when you have to make a decision. There's only two decisions. You're either going to give up or you're going to stand your ground. Can I tell you what the devil wants to get you to do? If you didn't figure that out, now you've got to keep all this in perspective. God's not your opponent. The devil's your opponent. Those principalities and powers are your opponent. It's not God. We just read he's always willing, and he will generously give you wisdom. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you how to get out of this mess. He'll tell you how to get on top of your finances. He'll tell you how to save your house. He'll tell you how to save your family. He'll show you how to save your marriage. And then all you have to do is step when he says step. How much time I got? Okay. So he's always there to push you back. He's your opponent. He's your opposing force. That's when the thoughts come to you. Man, I've been fighting this so long, it's just not going to work. If God was really helping me, it already would have happened. I'd already be through this. This is the same thing I went through last week. This is the same thing we faced a year ago. You know what's happened? You didn't listen to the still small voice when your faith was being tested. You didn't listen, and you got right back in the same problem. Now, if that's you, if that's happened, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, because every one of us in here would have to raise our hand. And so don't let that put you under condemnation. Let this message be an encouragement to you and a strength to you. Because the devil's there. I've struggled so long. Don't know what's going to happen. If you stand still, your answer is going to come. That's what's going to happen. Well, but Hank, you just don't know my situation. No, and I don't want to, because I got enough of my own situation. Huh? And so I hope you're getting something out of this today, but I'm preaching to Hank today. Because this is what, my batteries get weak, and this is what I need. Get hooked up to the right source here. So the devil, he doesn't want God's will in your life. He doesn't want you, let me set that down for a minute. He doesn't want God's will in your life. He doesn't want God to be able to give you those answers. He doesn't want those things to manifest in your life. And so he's going to do everything he can to set you back. But he's not the only opposing force. Your flesh is as big, if not bigger, opposing force than he is. Because you have to deal with your flesh. Paul said, I have to put my body under subjection. Paul said, I have to cast down those imaginations, everything that comes against the knowledge of God. I have to do it. I have to put my body under. I have to pay attention to this, lest I myself, after I've preached this good news to everybody, that I become a castaway myself. He said, I got to stay on top of this, or after I've told you guys all how good this is, it won't work for me. See, our flesh wants comfort. It doesn't want to be challenged. I want to be all you want me to be, God, but I don't want to change very much, and I don't want to go through anything that changes me. I want to be different. I just want to keep doing everything the same way I'm doing it. Because it's comfortable. It's more comfortable for me to sit in the recliner and flip it back than it is for me to get up and get on my knees and seek my God. It's just, that's this not as a comfortable position as that recliner is. Well, I'll just do it. I'll seek you while I'm reclining, God. Well, now, you all know, how does that work? I seek him for about, I'm up to about 3 minutes now. And then it's. But I praise him in my sleep, though. Your faith needs to grow. It needs to grow. You have to feed it. It takes some action. That's the whole thing of James here, the whole book of James. He's trying to tell us, he's trying to tell the church at Jerusalem, he's trying to tell believers that, hey, faith isn't just something you talk about. Faith is something you become. It becomes a way of life to you. If you're just talking faith, then your faith's dead if there's no action to it. If you're not acting it out, if you're not living it, we know how to do that, don't we? See, but what I'm saying is, faith stands still. Faith stands firm. That's what he's trying to say here in verse 6. Faith knows what it wants. Faith doesn't vacillate. It never moves. It just stands still in one spot. God, I'm believing you. I'm believing your word. And your word says, by your stripes I am healed, Jesus, and I'm not bowing my knee to that. Father, you said that sickness wouldn't come to my house. I'm not moving off of that. Guys, let me tell you something. I've learned I don't have to depend on Pam to keep sickness away from my house. She's not the head of my house, I am. I don't mean that derogatory. So you ladies that are puffing up, you just go ahead and puff up. I'll pop you in a minute. Nothing about that. I'm saying I can't use her as an excuse for God to not move in my home. Because it's my responsibility to stand up. Now she has responsibilities too. But I got to quit blaming somebody else for my lack of faith. Well, now y'all looking about like I did when God told me this not long back. I got to quit looking for an excuse for it not to work. And I got to hurry because I'm almost done there. This verse describes an unwavering attitude that when you ask God for something in faith, you don't waver. That's what he's talking about here. You stand still. You stand firm. You stand your ground. Let me read that again. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Four things I saw in this verse is the first one is, you must ask. I must ask. The Greek word for ask here means to be firm or adamant in requesting assistance to meet tangible needs, such as food, shelter, money, and so forth. Are you hearing me? It means to be firm and adamant when we go to God about these things. God, you said in here I'd be the head and not the tail. I'm not standing for them to take my house away. It's not right for my kids not to have food. I'm standing my ground, God. Now, that doesn't mean you just blab it and gab it. That means you listen, and when he tells you to do something, you start doing it. You don't have to have the whole plan, but you got to start moving. Where's Steve at? There's Steve there. He's not going to bring money to your house continually if all you want to do is lay on the couch and eat potato chips. Some will come, but the encouragement, the incentive is for me to get up and do something. It's okay for you to help meet my need, but I can't get to where I depend on you to meet my need. I've got to get up and do something because I've got to depend on God to meet my need. That's the incentive. And when he says, come ask, it's like I command it to happen. So I can't command God. No, you can't. But you can command and demand. Demand his word to work in your life. In fact, that's what the word means. It's like if you go to the bank and you hand them a check. You got an account there and you got money to start with in it. But you hand them a check. That's called a demand deposit. It's called, you've got money in this account, and when you make a demand on it, now you do it online, and you do it every other way, and you do it with the little machines and all that. But when you make a demand on it, they're obligated to give it to you because it's yours. Now, you don't go in the bank and throw a little fit and go to screaming and hollering as you give them that check and say, oh, so give me all the money, blah, 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 blah. They'll probably send you to jail, man. You're not going to get very far with God that way either, but if he says it in the Word, I can count on it. He said in the Word, he said, everything I say, it'll do what I sent it to do. It won't come back to me void. It'll produce what I sent it to produce. Are you with me? So I make a demand. I am firm and adamant in what I'm asking for. I know what I'm asking for. I know God's will for my life. I know it isn't His will for me to be sick. I know it isn't His will for me to be broke. I know it isn't His will for me to be the tail and not the head. I know that all this stuff's not supposed to be happening in my life. And I boldly come to Him and say, God, I'm ready for stuff to change. You understand? Not cocky with God, not mad with God. But see now flesh says, oh, but I don't want to do that. Flesh will make you just kind of get complacent and just kind of say, well, God controls everything. It'll make you just go, oh, if God wants me to have it, He'll send it to me. You hearing me? It'll develop. Flesh will develop that attitude in there. But the truth is, God already put everything here that you need, and He already gave you the authority over the earth and authority over everything in the earth. And now, as you learn what Jesus did for you, as you learn that, you take that authority as you get the knowledge of it. And it works. But you're not at the finished product, because there's a next step. And then a next step. And so we're continually learning, and we're continually pushing, and we're continually. Heard Kenneth Copeland this morning talking on there, and this man's 80-something years old and preaching faith for 50 years, and he's still talking like, man, God just showed me this the other day, and I'm still learning, and I'm still. Help us here, Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a person that speaks up, speaks out. And will dare to say what God says. You with me? And this next thing he says is ask in faith. The Greek lays the emphasis on the word in this phrase. Like something a person is locked into. Ask in faith. Something a person's locked into. Or something that's irrevocable. It's fact. It's definite. Praying. He's talking about praying from a stable, immovable position. You know, these guys have came up with all these songs and I Shall Not Be Moved and all these things in the old days, those were inspired. I sit here and listen to the words y'all were singing this morning, and I don't know if you were paying attention to the words, but I said, man, they're preaching my sermon. God, you must have, because I had something different I wanted to share today, and God changed this the other day. And I said, man, you must really know what you're doing, God. Surprise, surprise. But he's talking about asking faith. He's talking about praying from a stable position, praying from a firm position. Somebody that knows what they want and they're immovable on it. Not going to change their mind. Not going to budge. Faith knows what it wants and faith stands still. It doesn't waver. Well, how long do I have to stand, Pastor? Forever. When you decide I'm standing forever, it probably won't take near as long for your answer to get to you. And the truth is, your answer already would have been to you if you wouldn't have quit so many times, if you wouldn't have gave up so many times. Then he goes on and says in that same verse, he says, ask in faith, not doubting. The word there is, it means to differ or to be in variance with oneself. Did you get that? To be in variance with oneself. What's that mean, Hank? That means I'm saying one thing with my mouth, but my heart isn't believing it no more than anything. Huh? Now, you're flashing on times you've done that. I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that, and all it was idle words. Because your heart wasn't in agreement with it. Your heart wasn't in tune with it. Until your mouth and your heart get in agreement, You don't have faith. You with me? That's why Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I had a flash when I was reading that this morning. I have a lot of flashes, can you tell? Huh? You can hear anything and it'll cause you to believe it. We're doing that with the news media. There's thousands and millions of people in this country that are believing things about our president that aren't true, but they're believing it because they heard it and they heard it and they heard it and they heard it. You believe things in your life. Things are hindering you because you believe things that you've heard and they aren't true. Faith will come by hearing. You can believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, and if you believe that, faith will come for that. You can believe it's that you're not supposed to have anything, and if you believe that, that'll manifest in your life, because faith comes by hearing. But you have to be careful and make sure you're hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing, but hear the Word. You want your faith to go the right direction, hear the Word. If you don't, the enemy's going to bombard you with every thought he can think of. He'll get you to believe in all kinds of goofy things. You'll believe your kids are coming back in a little butterfly. You'll believe that you can't kill a cow because somebody's come back and they're living in that cow. You can believe all kinds of things. But when you get the truth, the Word. I believed a lot of stuff that wasn't true, and when I would find it that I was believing something that the Word didn't say, I'd say, hey, hold it, God, you gotta help me change. I gotta cast down those imaginations. I gotta cast down all those thoughts that aren't in agreement with what Jesus says. I gotta cast those things. I gotta get them things out of here. I gotta bring them into subjection. I gotta capture my thoughts, because they're becoming a stronghold in my life. Oh, this is so good, and I got to quit. Maybe we'll do round two next week, maybe. And he goes on and says, if you're not asking in faith, you're not standing firm and in a position of faith. He said, if you're not asking in faith, but you're doubting, he says, we're like a wave. That word there describes the billowing sea, the waves. I love to sit on the beach, man, and watch the water. Of course, I was born in Galveston, and that's just in my blood, man. I don't know how I ended up in Joplin, Missouri, and you got to look at Shoal Creek instead of those beautiful white sands at Destin. I mean, God, what in the world, you know? But I love to watch those waves, and those waves are so forceful and they're so powerful, but they're not steady. They're not constant. They're ever moving, and they look ferocious and they look powerful, but they don't last very long. You can look like a wave. You can sound like a wave when you pray. But if you don't have something in here, if you got doubt in here, you're not going to last very long. Anybody ever hear anybody pray and they thought their prayer was going to get answered because of the words they used? How art thou, God? I love to hear somebody pray in King James. I love it, man. I go, yeah, man, whoo, yeah, yeah. It doesn't work. It's not going to happen because you say all the right words in the right way and the right tone, and you get the frown on your look, and you get the jerk, and I don't have time to get into that. I could make you laugh a little while, but no, what makes it work is I believe what he said in my heart. And when I believe it in my heart, even if I don't say everything just exactly right, he's going to make sure it happens anyway. Well, so what he's talking about here is a person who doesn't stand firm. This like a wave going, doesn't stand firm in faith, but temporarily looks and sounds like something. Like the sea that is changing all the time, not standing in a firm position. Faith stands still. Faith stands firm. I don't care what it feels like, God. I don't care what it looks like, God. I don't care what it smells like, God. I don't care what it tastes like. I'm not moved by anything but what you said, and I believe your word will come to pass. I prayed not long ago. I said, God, this is a situation that we always get in and we never get an answer. But I'm not giving up this time. I'm not settling for no answer this time. I'm not budging till I've heard from you. I'm not budging till you've manifested yourself in my life. Well, it's a lot better than you acting like. And he goes on here, and I'll quit. He goes on here to say, let not that person think that he would receive anything or she would receive anything from the Lord. Can I say this? It isn't, God's not grading you. He's not testing you and say, well, now is their faith strong enough and I'll do it. It's not that he doesn't want to do it. It's that he can't do it. Because you're vacillating all the time. Huh? You're moving around all the time. I don't know what happened there, but you understand me? You're praying one thing and then tomorrow you're praying something different. You're seeking God, and then the first the pressure comes and you start vacillating, you start changing your mind, you start not knowing what to do. I quit saying in my prayers. Let me change that. I am quitting saying in my prayers, I don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm trying to get that out of my vocabulary. And now I'm saying, God, I know what to do here because you're giving me your wisdom. I just haven't listened good enough yet. Truth is, he won't let more be put on you than you can handle, and he's already put enough in you for you to get out of that if you'll just pull it out of there. That makes sense? He says he can't do it. Why? Well, because we get double-minded. Verse 8 says we get double-minded, we get unstable, we get restless in all our ways, in everything we think, and everything we feel, and everything we decide to do. Huh? You ever make a decision, do something, you go, well, no, maybe I shouldn't do that. Ever take a stand and go, well, yeah, but maybe that wasn't the way it is. Let me just ask you something. Maybe you're still in the battle. Maybe you just came out of the battle. Maybe God didn't give you the answer. He just gave you some relief. Huh? I'm also telling God, God, I don't want relief here. I want answer. I mean, I'll take some relief. I mean, take some of the pressure off anytime you want. But I'm finding out as soon as I take a stand of faith, as soon as I believe Him, that pressure starts leaving. It starts leaving. And I don't know, you just ask yourself, what's taking place in your life? Maybe your answer isn't there because you hadn't just taken a strong stand. I shared with somebody the other day. I said, if you're ever in a fight, before you start swinging, make sure your feet get solid on the ground. Because if you don't, you're going to swing and you're going to end up on the ground. Make sure you got a footing. Maybe you're just asking God, but you're not standing still yet. You're not standing firm. I told a gentleman, he's not going to church here anymore, and I hope he doesn't hear this. Well, I don't care if he hears it or not. I said, you know, you asked me to pray for this job and said, you got this job? And I said, then it wasn't 30 days till you was moving on to something else. And I said, and so you asked me to pray, and I prayed, and it wasn't 30 days till you was moving on to something else. And I prayed, and I said, you know, and after about six or seven times, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I'm not praying for you anymore. You never stand still long enough. You never stay in one place long enough for God to bless you. God gets all ready to give you the blessing, and you done moved on to some greener pasture. Isn't that kind of what we do sometimes with our faith? God, I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to keep flipping hamburgers, but you supply my needs. It's not this McDonald's that supplies my needs. You supply my needs. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to keep running this machine. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to keep doing this, God, but I'm not believing this is my source. This job's not my source. You're my source, and I'm believing you, and I'm standing strong until you tell me something different, dude. God, I'm believing for this, and I'm not changing my mind until you tell me to change my mind. Well, I guess I better quit because I think I've given you enough. I looked back here and I saw somebody, and the needle said full. Full. After you get full, you can't put nothing else in, can you? Everybody stand. Everybody stand. This hadn't been a salvation message. Does everybody listen to me? Don't move, and I'll end this quick. If you're here today and you don't know you're saved and you don't know that Jesus is your Lord, you don't know if you died right now you'd go to heaven, right now, say something with your mouth and believe it in your heart, and something will happen on the inside of you. Say, Jesus, right now, I take you as my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. I need your help. Thank you for saving me right now. If you prayed that, or if you didn't and you want to, come on down here as soon as I dismiss. Let one of us pray with you. We got several here that want to pray with you, and we want to give you some information that'll help you get on your way with the Lord. Did you learn anything today? Say, Holy Spirit, I think I learned something, but I'm not really sure what I learned. But if you'll help me, I'm going on with you. That one that didn't think you could go any further, now do you know you can? He's not going to give up on you. He's there to help you. That one that's in the pit, he's pulling you up out of that pit right now. Hey, you just let the Holy Spirit talk to you through this day and through this week. And I believe he's going to take you to some places that you haven't been yet. You believe that? Father, I thank you for blessing us today. And I thank you most of all for your word. We're not strong in ourselves. We're strong in you, Jesus. It's all because of you. Not anything we do right or do wrong. It's because you did it right. And that's what we're putting our trust in, is you, God. So right now, in your name, Jesus, I speak healing into this whole group here. In your name, I speak healing. Now, if that's you, you reach out and grab it. If that's you, you take it right now. I speak healing into this heart. I speak healing into this colon. I speak healing into this prostate. I speak healing into these lungs. I speak healing into this back. I speak healing into those joints, those hips, those knees. Jesus, you paid the price. And right now, in your name, by faith, I release your power to touch everyone that's in here. You know their need, and I believe you to touch them and bless them. Now, help us learn how to receive. We thank you for that and praise you in Jesus' name. If you are a first-timer today, I'd love to shake your hand. If you prayed that prayer or you'd like to, come down. We want to pray with you and give you some information. Hey, you go and you be blessed And I believe God's going to do some good things in your life today and this week. If you can, be here at 6 o'clock tonight over in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a good message and have some good fellowship.